I'm Shannon. Wait, I'm not
Shannon.
I'm already drunk.
Suce un sac de bite. More New Orleans. I'm gonna cry. I am so content and so happy right now. Like, I can't even, like, I'm already misting up.
I feel like maybe recording out here is a bad idea.
I think it captures the essence of the city. Hashtag balcony life. I did not expect whatever just revved by to rev by, but...
Well, I heard it revving and I was like, hmm. And then there were also people yelling and I was like, hmm. That is just a car. That's just a Mazda. Someone needs to get their fucking what the shit checked. What's that called?
Motor. No, muffler.
Muffler. Your muffler.
Sounds like a heat shield.
Your muffler needs checking. There was a time that mine fell off of my car on the way home from your house. That was terrifying.
Ooh, is that the gay bar?
Yeah, I don't know what is going on at all.
No, it looks like a bachelorette parade. Let all whoop. That guy looks like Richard Simmons. It's Richard Simmons.
There were a few Richard Simmonses.
This looks like an 80s workout parade, but it's not an official parade. It's just people walking down the street with music. Wow, we chose a really great time to come out to the street, to the balcony. It was really quiet till about now. it'd be a real quiet morning.
Here in
the French Quarter, New Orleans.
It was really quiet, and then it just got so loud.
All of a sudden, it was like, time to wake up, bitches. It's noon.
Yeah, bitches. So, Shannon, we're in New Orleans.
We're in New Orleans, yay!
We've said this like 8 times. I don't even know what I wanted to say. Right now, we're drinking on the balcony.
Day drinking forever.
I drank my breakfast yesterday, and then I drank my lunch yesterday.
Me too. And this morning, I drank breakfast, and then I had a snacky snack after breakfast drink, and now we're on our third drink.
Yeah.
And we're going to go down the road and get another drink.
We are.
And we're going to have a lunch and have a drink.
Yep.
And then we do a pub crawl today.
That's what we are going to drink all goddamn day.
And I'm going to feel like Sterling Archer. Yep. And I'm going to have to keep drinking because the cumulative hangover will kill me.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Which means I'm buying an $8 drink on the airplane tomorrow.
Drink breakfast tomorrow. We'll probably still have alcohol here in the room. We'll just have to slam it before we go through security.
Right? It's going to be leftover breakfast tomorrow. Left 4-day-old pizza and the last of the tomato juice and vodka.
Yeah, that's right. We've had some amazing food on this trip.
Yeah.
Some amazing, amazing food. I dragged everybody down to this diner last night where their signature dish is tater tachos.
They were delicious.
Weren't they so fucking good? The tater tots.
I had the mushroom Philly. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was nothing but a bed of mushrooms melted together with Swiss cheese and a hint of green pepper and onion.
Yum. That's how it should be. Philly cheesesteak should be mostly cheese.
That it was. Ben had the sriracha nachos with chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You had veggie nachos, tater nachos.
Yep, I had the ones that are called the OGs, which are just tater tots, vegan black bean chili, jalapenos, melted with a fuck ton of cheese on top, and then served with salsa and sour cream.
We're going to make these at home. I was going to be so happy to have like a potato-based dinner.
I know.
We eat a lot of potatoes in Germany, and we eat more pasta in our house than potatoes. So I think she's missing her potatoes.
Oh, God. My family was all potatoes. There was not a ton of pasta at my house. She would have loved being my parents' exchange student. My dad made mashed potatoes all the fucking time. Like, that was a regular staple at our house. And then also baked potatoes. That's a funny Mitch Hedberg joke where he's like, sometimes he just puts one in the oven because he doesn't know, like, they take so fucking long to make that he doesn't know. Maybe he'll want one later.
That's funny. So this is day 3 of our trip, or like 2.5.
Yep.
So this is our second full day. Yesterday we did cemetery tour and then a dinner and parade. Our audience of one, Vicky, is trying to get comfortable in a chair, and she's having a hard time. She's about to fall out of it.
She's struggling over there with her fat
legs. She's on the struggle bus with the legs.
I'm struggling with my fat today.
You have a...
But I'm happy.
You're a friend here. Oh, it's not attached.
Oh.
It was attached somewhere else, though.
I had a aging is a racket, and I fucking hate it.
We did cemetery tour.
Yeah.
Our friends are really early risers, and so they have been getting up early and wandering around, which is delightful.
For them.
Their first time in the city. They get to go explore and find all their favorite places, just like we did on our first visit. Linda woke up super early this morning, was like, bye, bitches. She had on her backpack, and we haven't seen her since.
Yes, but we know she's okay because we've gotten text messages from
her. Yes, I sent her to the rock store that we found on our first trip here, and she was very delighted. Everyone else went to a neighborhood that is known for its murals on all the buildings and walls.
Oh, fun.
So they're doing that today, and I think we might meet up around lunchtime again. And then we have our spirit tour.
Spirit tour. Spirit fingers.
And then we have fancy dinner and another parade tonight.
We didn't tell them that we went to a parade last night.
Yeah, tell them about the parade last night.
So it went right, down the street from us.
One block from us.
Yeah, not even a half block from us.
Yeah, we might have been able to watch it from here. I'm not sure.
I think we might have, too.
For sure if we were at the next balcony on the very end of the building.
Yeah, the problem is that the balcony here, there's a balcony next to us and the building next to us, and they have a bunch of, shutters. To keep us, for privacy, that's fine. But I think it would have been hard. We would have been leaning a lot off the already slanted balcony.
Yes, the already questionable balcony.
It's very slanty, you guys. The wood feels very soft.
We all wonder if we're going to fall off of it at some point.
It's very moist. It's very moist.
So moist. Even in winter. Very moist.
So the actual thing, Mardi Gras is in 3 weeks. And maybe 2 weeks at this point. I counted it as close to 3 weeks from when we got here. But I think we're closing down on 2 weeks since it's been some extra days. So, in the week, there's how many Mardi Gras parades did he say? 50-some?
Upwards of 80, sometimes over 100.
Yeah, it's all
but
over the place.
But he said, the sweet spot's around 82, 83.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Why did I have 50-some
but
in my
they
head?
They start...
They start weeks in
12th
advance.
12th night. So they start in January. So almost every weekend leading up to Mardi Gras is parades. There's definitely crew parties and balls. Because my friend was here 2 weeks ago for his crew party.
Oh.
But there wasn't a parade that weekend.
Right.
So he was here for a great big crew party and ball. In the month of February, though, every single weekend has multiple parades now.
Right.
Up to the 2 weeks before Mardi Gras, so about 8 days before Mardi Gras, is when, quote-unquote, the season really kicks off, and there will be,
a bajillion parades.
50-some parades in the span of 8 days.
Is that where I got 50 from?
Probably. Yeah. So they already have, bandstands, bleachers set up around town. They don't take the floats through the French Quarter, so the parades we will see are all walking parades or very small... Man-powered floats.
Yeah, there were some floats last night.
Yeah, they were man-powered.
But they were man-powered.
And that's probably part of the rules.
Right.
We learned there were a lot of rules.
There's a lot of rules.
Made up by the mysterious...
People.
People of the parade committee.
The people who are in charge of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's who's in charge of that.
So last night was the crew of Boheme. And it was led by the... Absent fairy.
Absence?
Yeah.
You said it like absent.
Absinthe.
Absinthe. The fairy wasn't there.
The green fairy.
The absent fairy.
Absent fairy.
It wasn't in the parade. No, it was. There was absinthe fairy was there. And there was a lot of crews. There was...
There was at least a little over a dozen crews, I think. They had the whole list on the website.
And there was the... Mary Antoinette's, and they...
M-E-R-R-Y, Mary Antoinette's.
Yes, the Mary Antoinette's. And they had a little float, a little bicycle float that was a guillotine, and it like went up and there were lights, and then the guillotine would swing down and all the lights turned red.
And it'd be like, boom,
boom. And I screamed, eat the rich, both times, and people around me thought I was very funny. Eat the rich.
That was you?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what you do. That's what guillotines are for. It was a very fun, intimate parade.
It was.
So tonight, I forget the name of the parade tonight.
View to Crew.
View to Crew.
Crew to View.
Crew to View.
Crew to View.
Crew to View, which is the quote-unquote adult parade.
When we were at Mardi Gras World getting the backstage tour of float stuff, the guy was saying that he was like, don't take your kids to this one. And he was like, but I did go to it as a kid. We're weirdos here.
We're all crazy down here.
Which I thought was really funny.
It's totally something I would do. I mean, I've taken my daughter whiskey tasting, so I would totally take her to this parade.
You've taken your 5-year-old whiskey tasting.
Yeah.
Just reminding the folks at home.
What? You gotta learn.
Yeah, of course.
Sometime.
Yeah, you gotta learn sometime.
Right?
Yeah. Ooh, we're gonna go get peanut butter whiskey after this, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
We'll get back to that. Put a pin in that real quick. So I heard from another friend who's in town randomly. Even though I've been planning this for 2 years, fuckers. Y'all have been notified. Lots of talk on the podcast. Lots of posts on the Book of Face. My husband's one of his best friends is here this weekend for a conference/birthday weekend with his wife. So they're going to join us tonight for dinner and parade, which we thought was hilarious that we were both in town at the same exact time on vacation. Now, we put a pin in peanut butter whiskey.
Peanut butter whiskey.
Y'all, I cannot stress how amazing this shit is. It sounds really weird and ridiculous. We were slightly judgy when we heard of it because there's signs all over the airport for it.
Yeah.
And then we found some at a local market we were shopping at. A local market. And the lady was like, yeah, I haven't had it yet, but we cannot keep it in stock. So it must be good. So
question. Thought. If there's signs for it all over the airport, do you think we could get it in the airport past security and take some home with us?
Ooh, maybe.
We need to look. We need to figure this out. All right, so the lady at the bar was like, we cannot keep the peanut butter whiskey in stock.
Yeah, so Ben and I were grocery shopping, and then we stopped off at the bar with our groceries, like you do in the French Quarter. And I asked the bartender, I was like, do you have this peanut butter whiskey everyone's talking about? He's like, I don't have that brand, but I do have some. I was like, I'd like some, please. Y'all, it is so smooth. It's also very sweet. It did remind me a lot of Luis's liqueur, except it wasn't cream-based. It was very light, very smooth. It smelt like pralines.
Mm.
It tasted like butter. It was amazing.
Wait.
So after we record our quick little podcast here, weekend update, because we've had so much fun, we haven't recorded anything.
Yeah, which is
we're going to go back to the gay store and then go down to the blacksmith bar, which is the oldest bar in America. The gay bar is the oldest gay bar in America.
Girl,
lots of firsts here in New Orleans. I want to take you to the gay bar. Which is open 24 hours. And let me tell you how amazing that is to look at it all night long from our balcony. Dude, Whitney Houston was playing at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody, yeah. At 9 a.m., I'm chilling with my drink.
Amazing.
So we've had a really, really good time. All of our friends have had a really pleasant time. This has been a really great adult trip where we've had just enough scheduled time together. And it's like the perfect mixture of scheduled time, free time.
I agree.
So, and everyone's been very adult about this. No one has been salty or butthurt about like, you know what, Megan, I'm going to stay behind this morning while you guys tramps around. Why don't you all wander off? We'll catch up with you later. And everyone's like, okay, great, bye. Because they're just all excited to be here.
Yeah, we're all just having our own... You know, Shannon and I are a little worried about all of the walking that's going to occur.
Because we old.
We are so old.
We're literally... Like, that's why we're like, you go walk a mile away. We're going to stay here because we're walking a lot tonight.
So much tonight.
We have had one friend that's been very violently ill this entire time.
I know, that's such a bummer.
It's very sad.
What, Ray's still here? Yeah. They are feeling a little better. Yeah.
But everyone's having such a great time. They're like, when can we come back, Shannon? I'm like, I'll come back anytime y'all want to come back. They're like, 2 years so we can save money? I was like, sure, 2 years. So we're going to come back again.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Maybe we'll have more people who couldn't make it this time. Maybe they make it next time.
Should I tell the story about seeing somebody?
Yeah, if you want to. Go ahead and hold this.
I'm going to hold this and tell the story. So yesterday we're walking, on Bourbon Street. We're at the beginning part of the cemetery tour, but we're not to the cemetery part yet. He's just sort of talking about the city and stuff.
Architecture,
history of New Orleans. Yeah, it was cool. I didn't expect that part. That was lovely. And we passed by this girl with facial tattoos, sitting with a dog, clearly homeless. And I just stare at her the whole time as I walk by, and I'm like, that looks so much like Emma. But that can't be Emma. Maybe I should ask her to lift up her sleeves so I can see what her arm tattoos look like, because then I would know for sure if it was her. So Emma was my, roommate for a couple months when I first moved to Orlando. And she was just like a couch crashing, lived in our living room. And I thought she was funny and wild, and we did a bunch of weird shit together, and I wasn't working. I moved to Florida without a plan. So I would drive her around, and I would buy her food, and we would do stuff. And my cat, Sid, she and I adopted him together. I mean, by adopted, I mean got him from under our dumpster at our apartment complex. And so I'm sitting there thinking, this girl looks so much like Emma, but I kind of didn't want to stop and ask her name, because I don't want to give everybody money. I didn't want to give a stranger money just because she had a dog, or I don't know what was going on in my head exactly. And so I just walked by her, and Shannon's friend Vicky gave her money and came up and talked to me and was like, she was so sweet and I felt so touched. And I was like, did you catch her name? Like, trying to be all casual. And Vicky's like, it was Emma. And I just start crying, and I was like, oh my God, oh no, oh no, oh no. And I ran back to try to find her, and I was like pulling up pictures of Sid on my phone to be like, he's still alive, I still have him. And she had already moved on.
Yeah, Linda had seen her first and had came back to tell us about her. She had a puppy.
Missed that fully.
And I was like, well, go give her your water that you have. And she was like, oh, good idea. And so she went back and talked to her too. So, I mean, I don't know the outcome of that exchange, but yeah. So, well, I mean, we may run into her again. You know, it's a nice day out, and we're going to be out and about. So
yeah,
you could walk by that stoop again if you want. It could be her spot to hang out, or there's plenty of people to ask on the street that they're gonna know her.
Yeah,
there were a lot of what I perceived as homeless with dogs last night, so there's definitely some sort of
I felt the same
homeless dog community.
I felt the same way, that there was a lot of people who I perceived to be homeless that had dogs.
So comfort and shtick, maybe, I don't know. Anyway,
so yeah, we so have that had, was wild.
That was wild. We have had a delightful time. I just feel so relaxed and content just sitting here with my friends, just hanging out. It's been a very, very relaxing, wonderful trip.
I'm so glad you feel that way, because yeah, Nobody wants a trip to be stressful or terrible.
I'm legit, if we did this all day, I would be so fucking fine with it.
Hung out on the porch?
Yeah. Grubhub, or just walking down the block to get food and come back. Everything is so convenient right here, which is why the houses cost $1 million.
Yeah, legit, Shannon,
I already looked.
I said, because she was like, I wonder how much it would cost. And, you know,
especially after the gay guy shamed us in the gay store about getting an Airbnb.
He did.
Taking away properties from the locals. And I was like, bitch, I don't think it's that cheap to live here. And I was right.
Yes. So Shannon was sort of brainstorming about it, and I was like, yeah, I'm sure we can scrape up a couple million between the group of us. And Shannon looks at me and is like, you were right.
Yeah, I didn't believe you at first. I'm like, nah, it's probably still low-ish, probably $300,000-$400,000, and that's where they start and go up. We did find a 500-square-foot, one-bedroom flat apartment within a home that was like $175,000.
So, like a tiny house.
It was probably our Airbnb is bigger. Probably the size of Andrew's room.
Yeah.
So.
Tiny houses are 400 square feet or less. So
everyone loves this little Airbnb.
It is nice.
There is a giant room at top. They're like, let's do that room next time. I'm like, y'all, that's a lot of couch surfing. So.
Furthermore, every single day when I've woken up, I always have to pee first thing, and there's always been someone in the bathroom. It's not your fault.
We do not want eight people, one bathroom.
Guess what?
Three girls, one cup.
Guess what?
Eight people, one toilet.
We don't want that.
Yeah, but maybe we could get like a full house next time that had multiple, like maybe a three bedroom, two bath, bathroom place. Airbnb, you know?
You're not supposed to get them.
I'll look into it.
Yeah. I mean, you found this place. You're good at stuff. Here's the thing. This place was like dilapidated and old and dying. And these people fixed it up for the purpose of having it be a vacation rental. It was a vacation rental before Airbnb existed. Yeah. You can't be mad at Airbnb for existing.
Yeah, this company that owns this property has multiple across New Orleans. They're an official, like, B&B company that just happens to rent their rooms out conveniently through Airbnb.
Yeah.
So they did already exist before that platform came along. That platform just kind of, you know, allowed it to be easier to rent their spaces.
Listen, am I mad that people don't live in Manhattan and can't afford to live in Manhattan? Yes. Of course I fucking am. But that's not Airbnb's fault that happened. And same with the French Quarter. Who the fuck do you think can afford million-dollar homes? Not your average worker.
Yeah. Yeah, and not locals. That's for sure. So, do you think we can make enough money working on Bourbon Street as a bartender to own one of these houses two blocks away from it?
Probably not. Although I do bet Bourbon Street bartenders make more than other places.
Right. So that there's a high maybe. But, like, who wants that kind of life?
That sounds stressful. It does. And, again, like, the guy at the gay store, like, you own a cute little pride shop. Are you bringing in millions and millions of dollars a year?
Right.
So that for you to live right here? Like, I just don't.
Right.
I don't know.
Or do you have multiple streams of revenue? We know you have a website. We know you have a hard front, a stone front store.
The issue is something that Airbnb has capitalized on, but it's not Airbnb's fault. Like, yeah, sure, they've made money off of the fact that people can't afford to live in cities, but that problem existed beforehand.
If I'm going to the bad place because I rent through Airbnb, then, like, this world is jacked up.
There is no ethical consumption under capitalism.
There we go. Do you want to talk about The Good Place real quick? We haven't debriefed ourselves either.
I cried the whole way.
Or do we want to have a special episode for it?
No. Let's do a real quick debrief right now. Let's do a real quick discussion about it. You guys.
Plug your ears, Vicky.
The finale. The series finale occurred.
Of The Good Place.
Of The Good Place.
Probably, literally the best series finale I've ever watched. I was so pleased, so satisfied. I wasn't pissed. I wasn't disappointed, like, with How I Met Your Mother or with Scrubs or what other
God, big... Scrubs is the fucking worst one.
Parks and Rec was okay. I was just, like, meh about it, but I didn't feel as content with it as I am with this one.
I agree, probably the best series finale that has ever happened,
right up there with MASH. Everyone loved the MASH series finale. They all go home, they all take their signs off the post, and it's sayonara.
Yeah, one of the things that they said in the podcast that I really loved and appreciated and hadn't considered when I was watching it was how the main four characters all got over their, like, critical flaws, mm-hmm. right? So, like, Jason went first because he had the least amount to go. And we got to see him. He waited for Janet for hundreds.
A thousand Jeremy Baramies.
And so we got to see him, like, take care of his impulses. Because that was always his major flaw, impulse control. And then...
Dude, I want a party with Jason Mendoza.
His party was fantastic.
That was off the hook.
That was a fantastic party.
He had his dancers. He was DJing. It was a full-on rager. And I'm sorry, that should have been their night every night in The Good Place.
Well, you could do what you want to do.
I know, I'm just saying.
If you... That was the whole point of the previous thing. If you do it too much, it becomes less special.
So once a Jeremy Baramy, we have a rager by Jason Mendoza.
I want it.
Every Tuesday.
And then Tahani was always, you know, self-serving and cared about status. And so she learned how to do things.
Yeah.
And she spent her entire afterlife learning how to do other stuff.
Like 2,000 things on her to-do list.
No, I thought it was like 11,000 things.
Oh, was it?
I think
12,000?
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was 11,000.
The last one was to objectify Eleanor.
Problematically. I know. They're so cute.
There were a lot of great cameos. They really wrapped up a lot of stories.
Ron Swanson. I loved that one.
No, he was there as Nick.
He was there as Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
He was great.
He taught Tahani how to do chair work, woodworking.
Yep, he did.
I loved it that all their friends ended up in the Good Place, plus their parents, you know, eventually.
Everybody got there eventually.
So.
Tahani's parents got there eventually, and they...
were delightful.
Yeah.
Very
apologized.
Apologetic.
And
it was great.
And Tahani and Camilla got to spend time with their parents, having normal, healthy relationships with them.
After they got to spend normal, healthy relationship time with themselves.
Yeah. I loved that they were, like, good friends by that point.
Yeah.
Then we have Chidi. And Eleanor realized that Chidi was ready to go. So she started doing fun stuff with him to try to make him want to stay. And Eleanor's main problem, as we always know, was her selfishness. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm going to cry just saying it.
Right.
She realized asking Chidi to stay was selfish.
Yeah.
And so that was her getting over her selfishness, was letting him go.
Yeah. You're right. all the feels in this episode.
I cried the whole fucking way through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Isla and I watched it together the first time.
Chidi got her the world's best calendar.
Oh my god, I need this calendar in my life. Chidi made Eleanor a beefcake calendar of himself. Like, Chidi in a sexy male uniform. Chidi wearing a wrestling onesie with a championship belt. Chidi reading a book sexy, like, with his glasses in his lips and, like, looking
rolling
all
up, rolling up his sexy cuffs.
Yeah,
there was one where he was in a suit and was giving her a rose and a margarita.
Right.
It was so good.
It's amazing.
I need this calendar in my life also.
So NBC has released high def pictures so we can make all of our own Chidi calendars.
I need it. Let's do it. Chidi calendars for the win.
Mike Schur had the song staff write out Michael's song and perform it at the end of the episode through the credits.
So incredible.
Yeah.
I love that. And Eleanor had to figure out what she was waiting for, what she needed to complete to be ready to go. Oh, other thing that killed me was when she would kiss the calendar. She just missed him so much.
So Eleanor helped Mindy Sinclair, because Mindy's just remained in the medium place this whole time.
Yep.
She's rebooted Derek 1.5 billion times, so he is now just like an omnipotent head in the cosmos.
That was funny.
And Eleanor connects Mindy with a trusted architect to design her test. And says when you're ready, they will be there to help you. So,
yeah. And then she thought that was going to be it. And then that wasn't it.
Yeah.
And then she petitioned the judge to let Michael live a human life.
As is, in his current age and state. See, I thought at first he'd go live a whole human life, like as a baby.
Yeah.
But no, they just pushed him through the door as a middle-aged man in his 50s. So, and that was Janet's big crutch. She was, because she knew she'd see him again. She was okay saying goodbye to everyone else. But she knew Michael had real, was going to come across real issues on Earth.
Yeah.
Because now he's going to age. He's going to feel pain. He's going to go through all the things we do on Earth. So
that was sweet too.
She's like, I gave you a social security card. Here's your ID. You have enough money to live, but not enough money to be a douchebag.
Oh, that was very funny.
I believe that he went to Arizona, which was very fitting.
That was cute. He took guitar lessons from his real-life wife.
Mary Stuart Masterson was
Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, Mary Steenburger. Steenburgen.
That one.
I hope they got together in the show. Hey.
Yeah, that's cute. And we see... Oh, God, my favorite part was... So, Janet takes Chidi to the door... And that's when Jason pops out to be like, I've been waiting for you for thousands of Faramis. And he goes, hey, Chidi, wait up.
So that was a very Jason Mendoza thing.
So cute.
It was so great. Sweet. It was so like, great.
Laughing through my tears.
Yeah. Hey, Chidi, wait up. As he runs through the door.
Yep. And then we finally see Eleanor walk through the door.
Yeah. It was very, very satisfying.
It was. And everything...
Take it sleazy.
Take it sleazy. Everything Kristen Bell said about, like, it's earned, it's well earned, the fans aren't going to be disappointed, and it's a gut punch. All of that was true.
Yeah.
All of that was true.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, it was.
Hashtag major spoilers. Go back and don't listen to that.
Unlisten.
All right. It's been a quick little episode. Are we ready to wrap it up?
I'm ready to wrap it up.
Sorry, we had intended to like...
do what we did on our trip to Florida where we did little regular updates.
But we're just like really having fun being adults and living in the moment and just not... worrying about too many pictures or too many videos or too many things.
No, my hair is all sticking.
No, it was like
face.
A bug stuck in your makeup.
I have everything's like the wind is just blowing everything into me right now. It's really gross.
So this will probably be the only thing you hear from us. So we're
gonna die after this.
Oh yeah, the cumulative hangover is going to kill me. So
yeah.
Oh, should we talk about the other elephant in the room real quick?
Sure.
So, God damn it.
God damn it.
God fucking damn it. The inconsideration. My father-in-law died on Tuesday.
Yep.
2 days before we leave on a vacation we've been planning for 2 years.
Why did we plan this vacation for 2 years? Why did we plan the vacation in the first place?
Because my 40th ended up being a bust.
Because
my father-in-law was sick, and I just got really frustrated with the family committing to his care, so I canceled my party and rescheduled it.
And so after Shannon's 40th birthday party that Frank ruined by getting sick...
It wasn't really Frank's fault.
No,
but
it wasn't. It wasn't. But Shannon goes, we should have just taken a trip, feeling real disappointed about stuff. And so we planned this one for in 2 years.
42, the answer to life and everything, the universe as we know it.
Yep. And he...
fucking died! He fucking died 3 days before my goddamn trip!
And you texted me that he was unresponsive, and I just sent back the rudest message being like, I don't care if he fucking dies, we're still going!
Which I told Scott last week.
You did?
Yeah, I was like, you know, like, I really need to go on this trip still, no matter what happens. Like, last 6 days ago from today, or a week ago today, the doctors gave him 6 months or less.
Yeah. It ended up being 6 days, y'all.
Right.
I was, and at that point, I was like, please, Lord, just get through my birthday weekend. You can die after my birthday weekend. Just, like, get through my birthday weekend.
He just wants to fuck your shit up. Make it all about himself.
So.
I'm being deliberately rude, you guys. Don't don't hate me.
So I go home to a funeral tomorrow.
Woof.
The family graciously was like, you know what? We're probably going to need a few days to wrap our head around this and get shit moving anyway. So you go on your trip. There's viewings all day Sunday and funerals Monday. So I'm going to miss 75% of the viewing on Sunday. And I'll roll in real late to that right from the airport. And then Monday is his funeral and burial. So that happened.
Wah, wah, wah.
Like, just my fucking luck, man. So, and I felt like there were a lot of other signs to, like, not come and to cancel. Like, yeah. Something still bad was going to happen here. But it's been very pleasant. And I'm glad I ignored the signs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because the night before was a horrible snowstorm, and they were predicting that there was a 89 to 99% chance of school being canceled the next day.
Yeah.
So Shannon and I, last minute, got a hotel by the airport and did park, sleep, fly.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's continued to snow while we've been here, so we're going to go home, and there's going to be 6 inches of snow on our cars.
It's okay. God invented scrapers for a reason.
I don't know if there's a scraper in my car, man. It's been such a mild winter, and I park in my garage that I legit don't know if there's a scraper in my car.
That's funny.
It's February.
That is funny. I bought a new one after the November snow because the brush part of my old scraper became flaccid and wouldn't, like, brush anything. Like, it was,
became,
like,
flaccid.
You heard me. Those bristles went from stiff to floppy. And so when you tried to brush snow, it was a total disaster. So.
Love it. Here for it.
So I bought myself a new one.
Wanna be it?
All right, friends, let's wrap this up. We have things
that
to do.
That owl had moved.
Shut up. Yes, it did, because it had been looking at us.
It was not. It's facing backwards now.
Yeah, it had been looking at us.
Is it, like, wind responsive?
I wonder.
There's an owl, a fake one.
A
fake owl that sits on our balcony to deter pigeons and other shit. And his head is totally backwards right now. It was not that way last night.
No, it wasn't that way a half hour ago. I was looking at it.
Oh, maybe this place is haunted. Dude, last night, we were walking to 13. We passed 8 haunted tours all down this one street.
So many fucking haunted tours.
And every group we passed was telling a different story.
They were telling a different story. Every single one.
We were like, well, this is not the block to live upon. Because this block has some bad mojo.
Clearly is haunted.
Did you notice the difference in mojo between Marie Laveau's shop and the vampire store?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I felt Marie's was more calming and the vampire store was more intense.
Yeah, it was. I got cleaver earrings with fake blood on them. They're great. They're going to be, what a great treat.
All right, let's wrap this shit up because we got some shopping and drinking to do and lunch. We should probably eat food at some point.
We should eat food at some point. It's only 12:06 right now. All right, find us everywhere on social media at That More Thing. And you can also interact with me on Twitter. I am Maggie, at Brain of Maggie.
And this is Shannon, at Shannon's Party.
And this has been, I don't even know.
223.
Sure. Mini-sode.
Oh.
Half sewed.
Most sewed.
Mostly sewed.
From New Orleans.
Live.
French Quarter.
From New Orleans. Of That More Thing with Shannon and Maggie. Bye.